Japan's nuclear crisis means a lot of workers are moving out, for now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The Japanese government today evacuated the employees of the Fukushima nuclear plant. They're expected to return soon. But for a lot of businesses not too far from that plant, workers have fled until further notice. German car maker BMW and car part maker Continental were among companies moving employees out of Japan completely. Julian Heath works with companies dealing with disasters, such as the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. His firm is called Control Risks, and he's with us on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. You are currently working with companies in Japan about how they are responding. What are you telling them?
At the moment, we're telling them that the environment is safe outside the areas that have been defined as exclusion zones. The challenge is that everyone's on a roller coaster and will be, I think, for some time to come. They're confronting aftershocks and earthquakes, some 420-odd since the main earthquake last Friday.
What kind of situations have you had to deal with over there in this crisis?
The most confronting, I think, is for companies that have a mixed workforce of expatriates and Japanese and making the decision to actually evacuate their expatriate workforce, which clearly, you know, they're working together as a team and then suddenly elements of that team, you know, are withdrawn. Clearly, that's quite destabilizing.
What are the toughest decisions companies, you think, have had to make in this situation?
You know, considering the cost of relocating business either within Japan or actually shifting it offshore, with limited information and misinformation is the most confronting.
Julian Heath, Director of Operations and Standards at Control Risks. Julian, thank you.
Steve, my pleasure.
And there are now questions being raised about the 40-year-old reactors at Fukushima, which were made by American energy powerhouse General Electric. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Soon after General Electric rolled out its Mark I model boiling water reactor back in the 1960s, critics questioned whether the small containment structure could withstand a serious accident. Edwin Lyman is with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Containment structures are typically large reinforced concrete buildings that are very expensive. And so any way to reduce the cost of the containment was appealing to the industry.
Now, concerns are being raised about the two dozen GE Mark I reactors still operating in the U.S., from Alabama to Minnesota to New Jersey. GE says the reactors are safe and were retrofitted back in the 1980s to guard against overheating. Nonetheless, the company's efforts to boost reactor sales, especially to developing countries like India, may suffer from a global pullback from nuclear technology. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Global markets are mixed at the moment. After falling to financial crisis lows, shares in Tokyo rebounded today. The Nikkei shot up about 6%. Other Asian markets followed suit. Moody's downgraded Portugal's debt rating today by two notches, saying the country is struggling to generate growth. Here at home, six of the country's biggest credit card issuers say late payments were down in February. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was down 137 points to end the day at 11,855.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at Progressive.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
With spring break in full force, thousands of tourists are making their way to the beaches of the once oil-soaked Gulf Coast. But cleanup workers of the BP oil spill on Alabama's shoreline are being asked to blend in a little more with the tourists. Gigi Duban reports.
Cities along Alabama's Gulf Coast are fighting to make a comeback. But truth be told, cleanup crews in hazmat suits don't exactly say welcome to paradise. So officials with the City of Gulf Shores had a request for BP. Can you maybe have the cleanup crews stick out a little less? Grant Brown is Director of Recreation and Cultural Affairs for Gulf Shores.
I guess the biggest thing we were hoping and still are wanting to have happen is that the response people will blend in with our tourists and with our locals.
After pressure from cities along the coast, BP earlier this month told its cleanup crews, go ahead, take it off. Well, some of it anyway.
Workers will no longer be required to wear protective yellow boots or nitrile gloves. They also will not be wearing reflective vests.
That's Justin Saya, BP's director of media relations. He says instead of having armies of workers on the beaches, BP has launched strike teams. These are crews stationed just a few miles from the beaches.
So when the National Response Center calls us and says we've had an occurrence of tar balls washing up in the Fort Morgan area, teams will be deployed locally to go out and deal with that.
They get in, they clean up, and they're out. And for the workers patrolling the beach with nets, Recreation Director Grant Brown says it's great they've lost the fluorescent vests and boots, but he'd like to take it a step further.
In an ideal world, they'd be in a pair of shorts and a pair of tennis shoes and a t-shirt. People kind of know what they're doing, but not really knowing what they're doing, if that makes any sense.
That doesn't make much sense to Kathy Lewis. She's spending a month in Gulf Shores with her husband and brother-in-law.
I think I would rather see them and know that they're doing something than think, oh man, look at, there's a tar ball, where's the guy going to come to pick it up?
And, she says, she'd rather know for sure that the people picking up those tar balls are trained workers and not tourists like her. In Gulf Shores, Alabama, I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And finally, an Ohio teenager has come up with a new line of candles for an underserved market. His new line of man cans is geared toward men, with fragrances like New York-style pizza, bacon, fresh leather baseball mitt, and sawdust. Each candle goes for about $5 a pop, and the candle maker says he sold more than 500. I guess you could say the teen is truly waxing economic. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The fate of the Russian economy is closely linked to the Russian people, and the fate of the Russian people is up in the air.
Our government is at the crossroads. If they do nothing with alcohol and tobacco, the demographic problems would increase.
Telltale signs of a shrinking population. I'm Kai Rizdal. The high costs of poor health in Russia. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.